Truth News Network. He takes care of business every day. A showdown with the truth. Conservative thought, not just talk. TNN, the Truth News Network. Dan Newman.
We're way past the talk and we're deep into the meat and the substance of things. We're looking at the social media giants, Facebook, Twitter, and Google, especially Google. Google has gone rogue. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Newman. You know, there's something up with social media giants, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. You've heard about it continuously during the past couple of years. Conservative posts are being blocked or taken down. Demeaning or supposed hate speech posts are quarantined. And even users' accounts are being blocked, sometimes deleted. The conclusion? The big three are no longer just social media, news, and information platforms. They are political machines, and their political leanings are obviously tilted far to the left. They're using political bias to regulate what Americans see and read. In fact, in their doing so, they are choosing which political narratives and opinions are acceptable to the general public and which are not. Yesterday, we gave you examples of concrete proof that Democrats now have a chokehold on their media lapdogs. The big three network news divisions, along with CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, and others, are releasing news stories that are not just biased, but are in the tank for Democrats already in office and for those who want to be. If you haven't already, take about 12 minutes and take a look or listen to yesterday's story. And there's a link on the webpage, this webpage, to click to go back there. The title of it is, It's a Fact, Democrats Control Mainstream Media. Of the three, Google, Facebook, and Twitter, the media giant Google seems to be the one which is farther to the left politically and more intense in their editing of its users. But who was Google? You've heard the name over and over again. We hear it every day. We don't do an internet search. We do a Google search, right? Well, Google was founded in 1998 by Larry Page and Sergey Brin while they were PhD students at Stanford in California. Together, the pair own about 14% of its shares, control 56% of the stockholder voting power through super voting stock. They incorporated Google as a privately held company on September 4th of 1998. An initial public offering, you've heard the term often, the IPO, took place on August 19, 2004, and Google moved to its headquarters in Mountain View, California, nicknamed the Googleplex. In August of 2015, Google announced plans to reorganize its various interests as a conglomerate called Alphabet Inc. Google is Alphabet's leading subsidiary, and was and will continue to be the umbrella company for Alphabet's internet interest. Sundar Pichai was appointed CEO of Google, replacing Larry Page, who became the CEO of Alphabet. The company's rapid growth since incorporation triggered a chain of products, acquisitions, and partnerships beyond Google's core search engine, Google Search. It offers services designed for work and productivity like Google Docs, Google Sheets, and Google Slides, email, Gmail, and inbox, scheduling and time management, Google Calendar, cloud storage, Google Drive, instant messaging and video chat on Google Allo, Duo, and Hangouts, language translation, Google Translate, mapping and navigation, Google Maps, Waze, Google Earth, and Street View, video browser as well. Google has moved increasingly into hardware from 2010 to 2015. It partnered with major electronics manufacturers in the production of its Nexus devices, and it released multiple hardware products in October of 2016, including the Google Pixel smartphone, Google Home Smart Speaker, Google Wi-Fi Mesh Wireless Router, and Google Daydream Virtual Reality Headset. Google has also experimented with becoming an internet carrier, Google Fiber, Google Fi, and Google Station. Here's the most interesting and most important segment of today's article. Google.com is the most visited website in the world, folks. Not in the U.S., in the world. Why is that so important? Because Google has access to almost every electronic device and whatever data's on that device on Earth if it's connected to the internet. The driving force between any of these social giants is revenue. So how do they each create money? Dollars and cents. Well, there are only two ways to do it: the sale of goods and products and the sale of advertising. Google has a lock on the ability to rake in the dough because of their bevy of products, devices, even their own cell phone line, and advertising, of course. Google, as do all of these companies, do the best they can to parlay their goods and products into expansion and growth opportunities. In the media industry, the statement that he who is first is best holds true as it does in all sectors of business. Google started the internet browser industry, and boy, they have made it work. Founders Page and Brin were technology innovators who pounced on the importance to find ways to use the internet. In their quest to conceptualize, then create and build a product that could easily be used by world market just awakening to the world of the internet and its potentials, they needed to capture other technology gurus to join in on this project. Where else in the U.S. is there a larger and more qualified such group than in Silicon Valley? Answer, nowhere. Google has captured the largest group of electronic techno geeks, not just in the U.S., but everywhere on Earth, and they're good, really good at what they do. But here lies the problem. Almost all of those at Google 20 years later are born from the prevailing West Coast liberal philosophies that have overtaken America's educational and political system. This group of Americans, and not just from Silicon Valley, are the products of a generation of educators who promote liberal political ideals to these very young people. As a result, this generation of computer hackers are almost all far left. And here's where the social media problems at Facebook, Google, Twitter, and even Amazon and Apple originate. What are they? Left-wing activists using their technology outlets to surreptitiously impact American politics. And they're changing millions of Americans' fundamental political ideals and sometimes even their votes. Mark Zuckerberg's testimony before Congress just gave us a little peek into how prevalent this is. Add Apple, add Google, add Twitter, add Amazon and other techno giants into the mix, and we could possibly be at the verge of a new generation of young Americans driven by a technology-created political ideology unto itself. Do you know what's scarier than that? It's already happened. What has happened? Well, take Facebook and Google, for example. Share a few minutes with a real expert, Dr. Robert Epstein, a hard left professional testifying before Congress about Facebook and Google's significant and already in place operations to impact elections. Buckle in, folks, and listen very closely to Dr. Epstein.
As I understand your background, you're not a Republican and nor are you a conservative. Is that accurate?
That would be an understatement.
And indeed, you're the former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today.
Correct.
So you're a respected academic. You testified before this committee that Google's manipulation of votes gave at least 2.6 million additional votes to Hillary Clinton in the year 2016. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I want to make sure I understand. You personally supported and voted for Hillary Clinton.
I was a very strong public supporter of Hillary Clinton, yes.
So you're not dismayed that people voted for her, but your testimony is that Google is, through bias in search results, manipulating voters in a way they're not aware of.
On a massive scale. And what I'm saying is that I believe in democracy. I believe in the free and fair election more than I have any kind of allegiance to a candidate or a party.
And looking forward, if I understood your testimony correctly, you said in subsequent elections, Google and Facebook and Twitter and big tech manipulation could manipulate as many as 15 million votes in a subsequent election?
In 2020, if all these companies are supporting the same candidate, there are 15 million votes on the line that can be shifted without people's knowledge and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
Now, you described the Go Vote reminder, and you said it wasn't a public service announcement, but rather manipulation. Can you explain how? I'm not sure everyone followed the details of that.
Well, sure. If on Election Day in 2016, if Mark Zuckerberg, for example, had chosen to send out a Go Vote reminder, say, just to Democrats, and no one would have known if he had done this, that would have given that day an additional at least 450,000 votes to Democrats. And we know this without doubt because of Facebook's own published data, because they did an experiment that they didn't tell anyone about during the 2010 election. They published it in 2012. It had 60 million Facebook users involved. They sent out a Go Vote reminder, and they got something like 360,000 more people to get off their sofas and go vote who otherwise would have stayed home. The point is, I don't think that Mr. Zuckerberg sent out that reminder in 2016. I think he was overconfident. I think Google was overconfident. All these companies were. I don't think he sent that out without monitoring systems in place. We'll never know what these companies are doing. But the point is, in 2018, I'm sure they were more aggressive. We have lots of data to support that. And in 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out. And the methods that they're using are invisible. They're subliminal. They're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences. And I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
You know, our Democratic colleagues on this committee often talk about what they view as the pernicious effect of big money and big corporate dollars. What you are testifying to is that a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires and giant corporations are able to spend millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, collectively, massively influencing the results of elections. And there's no accountability. You said, we don't know. We have no way of knowing if Google or Facebook or Twitter sends it to Democrats or Republicans, or how they bias it, because it's a black box with no transparency or accountability whatsoever. I mean, am I understanding you correctly?
Senator, with respect, I must correct you.
Please.
If Mark Zuckerberg chooses to send out a Go Vote reminder just to Democrats on Election Day, that doesn't cost him a dime.
Fair enough. Do you happen to know who the Hillary Clinton campaign's number one financial supporter was in the year 2016?
I think I do, but please remind me.
The number one financial supporter of the Hillary Clinton campaign in the 2016 election was the parent company of Google, Alphabet, who was our first witness. They were her number one financial donor, and your testimony is, through their deceptive search methods, they moved 2.6 million votes in her direction. I would think anybody, whether or not you favor one candidate or another, should be deeply dismayed about a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires having that much power over our elections to silently and deceptively shift vote outcomes.
Again, with respect, I must correct you. The 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. Mm. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million, depending on how aggressively they used the techniques that I've been studying now for 6.5 years.
Wow. Could you say that again, please? Just
the 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million votes, depending on how aggressive they were in using the techniques that I've been studying, such as the search engine manipulation effect, the search suggestion effect, the answer bot effect, and a number of others. They control these, and no one can counteract them. These are not competitive. These are tools that they have at their disposal exclusively.
If any headline comes out of this hearing, that should be it.
What better way than to use something already in your hands to secretly play with and directly impact the results of American elections? According to Dr. Epstein, it's already been done. More astonishing and egregious is that no one, but probably Facebook and Google, knows how much of this was done, how many people were included in those attempts, and exactly how many people's votes were actually impacted. But as Dr. Epstein testified to before Congress, millions of votes were changed. So let's just get right to it. Social media has gone amok. The following segment was published by Fox News August 5th of this year. This is a quote from the article. When President Trump won in 2016, Google executives went on stage right away and cried, literal tears streaming down their faces. They vowed that it would never happen again, and they want to use all the power and resources they have to control the flow of information to the public and make sure that Trump loses in 2020. That's from Kevin Cernicki. He said that on Fox and Friends Monday, August the 5th. Cernicki said Google will ramp up the censorship as a method to ensure Trump loses the election, including the censoring of political advertisements and the filtering of search results to promote its political agenda. They are very biased, he said. There is bias at every level of the organization. And if you disagree with them even one iota, they will come after you. They'll target you. They'll make you example. Kevin Cernicki is a former Google engineer. He said this, Google has a huge amount of information on every voter in the U.S. He claimed the company will use it to build psychological profiles in an attempt to change the minds of voters across the country. The former Google worker said he noticed early on that the tech giant was mistreating its conservative employees, and he raised his concerns with HR, human resources. In response, he received an official warning, which he then took to the labor board. Cernicki was eventually fired at Google in 2018. So where are we, folks, and where do we go? Well, every American should be horrified at this. Think about it. The U.S. just came through 2.5 years and maybe $30 million, or maybe more than $30 million, spending that on an exhaustive Robert Mueller investigation into the alleged 2016 campaign violations of members of the Trump campaign who purportedly worked with Russia to impact the 2016 election results. These companies on the West Coast are not comprised of Russians and are, on the most part, comprised of Americans. Yet Americans employed by American companies have been shown to aggressively impact the final vote results of the 2016 election, and not for the benefit of President Trump, but his opponent. Oh, and in case you forgot, here's the former president's response on election hacking claims by then-candidate Trump during the 2016 election campaign. Obama said this in the Rose Garden, "Because democracy by definition works by consent, not by force, I have never seen in my lifetime or in modern political history any presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before votes have even taken place. It's unprecedented. It happens to be based on no facts." Every expert, regardless of political party, regardless of ideology, conservative or liberal, who has ever examined these issues in a serious way, will tell you that instances of significant voter fraud are not to be found. That, keep in mind, elections are run by state and local officials, which means that there are places like Florida, for example, where you've got a Republican governor whose Republican appointees are going to be running and monitoring a whole bunch of these election sites. The notion that somehow if Mr. Trump loses Florida, it's because of those people that you have to watch out for, that is both irresponsible and, by the way, doesn't really show the kind of leadership and toughness that you want in a president. If you start whining before the game's even over, if whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, then you don't have what it takes to be in this job, because there are a lot of times when things don't go our way or my way. That's okay. You fight through it. You work through it. You try to accomplish your goals. But the larger point I want to emphasize here is that there is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections in part because they are so decentralized in the numbers of voters that are involved. There is no evidence that that has happened in the past or that there are instances in which that will happen this time. And so I'd invite Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes. That was from President Obama right before the election in 2016. Every American should be horrified, folks. Election tampering did happen that year, 2016. It did happen again in 2018. Yet no one in Washington is shouting about the violation of the most basic institution of the United States, not by foreign governments, but by U.S. companies. Did President Obama know this was going on? You know what? It's likely he did. We are still waiting for the investigation results into the U.S. elements of government intervention in the 2016 election. We know that happened now. But more and more testimony and simple addition are showing that the Obama White House at least knew about the shenanigans going on, if not initiated them. We may never know that for certain. But what we do know for certain is that 2020 and the federal elections in November of that year are rapidly approaching. All this knowledge and information screams for transparency of the existing investigations and what DOJ processes have been implemented to clean up the certain social media voter-changing and vote-changing attempts that will occur unless stopped. They have occurred, at least in 2016 and 2018. It's shameful that Americans are just now discovering how deep is this intrusion into our election process. It's more shameful to discover that heretofore revered American companies seem to be joining forces now with political entities to purposefully impact election results to favor certain candidates. No wonder millions of Americans stay away from the polls, and when asked why, they respond simply, "Hey, my vote doesn't mean anything anyway." Wow. Who would think that this could happen in the greatest country on earth? And who could think there is a government or a former government, a former presidential administration that closed a blind eye and turned away from the even remote possibility that it could happen here? That's what the Obama administration did. Let's pray that the Trump administration doesn't do that for 2020. Thanks for being here today, folks. Another very revealing story. Google's in the tank. Looks like Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, and Apple are right in there with them. The big tech giants are taking advantage of our American process. We're going to get together again tomorrow. Don't miss it. Be here with us at www.truthnewsnet.org. The Truth News Network. So long, everybody.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network, at truthnewsnet.org.